This reminds me, I want to share a little testimony real quick. So a lot of people that know me know that I lost my husband Halloween of 13. And I was expecting, you know, I mean, doctors warned, we knew, I knew, mm-hmm. I was well aware that I'm taking him home to die. I'm taking him home, and he should be gone within 6 months. Because that's what the doctor said. Okay? Mm-hmm. That was an expecting death, okay? But then, on New Year's Eve, 12/31 of 14, my baby girl passed away. Very unexpectedly. And I became very angry. Very angry. So angry to the point that I was planning murder. And I was on the phone. I was driving down the back road to Burns Flat from Dill City. The very road my daughter died on. There's a cross with her name and everything that her husband put up. And I was on the phone with my beautiful daughter-in-law, Amy. And I was just hurting. I was angry. I was hurting. When I get hurt, I tend to get very angry. And out of my mouth to her came out these words. I don't know why God killed my baby. And that was my perspective.
Sure.
At that time, in my hurt.
Right.
But she said something to me that really hit me hard. And like, I mean, I went back in my driver's seat. I was driving and it threw me back a little bit. And something awoke in me. She said, I don't know what God you serve, but my God would never and did not kill your daughter. And I just was speechless and told her I loved her and thanked her for being brutally honest with me.
She gave you a word of truth.
You know what I'm saying? And that truth was the beginning of my freedom from the hurt and the anger due to the situation and the circumstance.
Absolutely. That is exactly where we're going to head, because we It's not that God ever believes we won't go there. My guess is many of us have gone there at some time or another. Thank goodness you had someone who told you the truth in love, but told you the truth. That's why, you know, it goes back to one of those very fundamental things for me. You know, sometimes I need you, sometimes you need me, but we always need each other.
Come on.
Because it is so easy to go down that road. And it's hard to come back from that road on your own. Thanks be to God that God sends those people into our lives to go, you may think that, but here's what I believe. And you're like, oh, I've had it happen. I guess as many of us watching have had that happen. So I appreciate you saying that, because to me that's part of being spiritually awake, is having those people in your life who will tell you the truth no matter what.
Amen. Tina, do we have any prayer requests over there? I have one over here.
I've got her already written down. Angelus.
Okay.
Yeah. I already have her written down.
Awesome. You're awesome, Sauce. I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
My friend Angela asked us to pray for her mom, Viola. We've been praying for her for a while. She's been in the hospital. She's had a bad infection, and she's still in the hospital. Now she has an abscess, and she's going back into surgery this morning. And pray for her daughter, Angela, too, because she hasn't been able to be there with her. She's been there a while. And then I have another friend who lost her dad in July, and there's some family turmoil over things.
I hate that. You know, that's I hear that all too often. It just breaks my heart. You know, there's actually a line in one of the prayers that I like to when I do a funeral service that talks about bring us closer to each other as we get closer to you, as a kind of a reminder prayer to the family. Look, you need each other during this time, and there will be hard decisions, but I always pray that doesn't end up hurting the family, because I've seen it happen. That breaks my heart. So I'll be praying for that. Thank you for that. No, that's okay. Thank you. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, I lift up the two prayer requests we have here that we lifted up by name. The friend who lost her dad and having some family turmoil for Viola Romero. Looks like going into surgery this morning. God, I just pray for these two, and I pray for all the prayer requests that are on our hearts this morning. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard for us to vocalize a prayer request. It's on our heart. It's on our lips, but we just, for whatever reason, can't speak it. So, God, I am thankful that you promise us in your word that when we don't know the words to pray, your spirit will pray for us. And so we lift up the prayer requests we've named and even the ones we have not named. And we place them in your care. For in your care is love, mercy, and grace. God, continue to bless all those who are listening to this today. Continue to bless our families and our community and our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You want to share about the book giveaway, sister?
Our January book giveaway is The Butterfly Effect by Andy Andrews. You can enter by sharing and liking our broadcast and then commenting done in the comment section. We'll be giving the book away on the 31st. Prophetic Voice Ministries is our Facebook sponsor today. They're located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title for this morning is Spiritually Awake or Asleep? Mm. Wake up. Are you awake now?
I am now. No. So in the first part of the program, you know, we talked a lot about why we might be spiritually asleep and what that causes. Mm-hmm. Which leads to the question, okay, so if I want to stay awake, how do I do that, right? And one of the things that I find very fascinating is whether it be in Deuteronomy or some of the things that Jesus taught in the New Testament, it's always about recalling what has been, what is, and what will be. Moses telling the story. Remember where we came from. Don't forget right now, and don't forget when you go over there. God is with you, right? Jesus coming in and reminding the people over and over. I know you've heard said this. Let me tell you what that says. And teaching things, even sometimes going against status quo, where he found spiritual sleepiness amongst his own people, amongst his own religious officials. And one of the things that I think is powerful, and you alluded to it, you know, when you gave testimony, is the value of spiritual accountability, the value of a spiritual friend, whether that's a relative or just a friend. I mentioned actually earlier in the program, I talked to my accountability partner. And when I say those things, I'm not talking about someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear.
Come on.
The story of God includes some beautiful things amongst his people. Sometimes we have cared for the poor and reached the lost and done good with creation. But the story of God also includes the times where his people didn't, where they built golden calves, where they let certain people into the temple who had money and those that were poor did not. Even today, it includes the moments where we are faithful, where we are doing the things that God wants us to do, and includes the times when we don't. The reason I bring that up is I think it's important, and I think Moses alludes to it here, is don't forget your faith story. If you want to be spiritually awake, you need to know where you came from and where you are and where you're going.
Come on.
And so when you think about that, like your testimony earlier, your daughter-in-law reminded you of a truth. Now, maybe you wanted to hear it at that time, maybe you didn't, but whatever it did, it got a hold of you. My accountability partner, his name's Steve. Met him in seminary. We talked over the last, you know, we've been out of seminary for almost 20 years. But during the pandemic, we when Zoom started to get big, one day he called and he's like, you know, we haven't talked in a while, let's Zoom. And it's now turned into every other week. He's like, we have accountability. And so while we're there, we talk, we just share our hearts with each other. We speak openly. We talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, all the above, right? But it was interesting because late last year, he and I were talking, and it was one of those sessions that went a little long, and not because it was real healthy, but he and I were in, I don't know how to describe it, gripey mode. We were griping and griping and griping, and then he would gripe and gripe, and then I would gripe and gripe, just about the world, the church, life. You name it, we were griping about it. That's exactly right. Grr. Yeah, yeah. So my favorite way to respond on text when somebody makes me mad is grr. You know, that's where actually I respond, grr. We were grrring, okay? And so the next time we talked, I don't remember if it was him or me that brought it up, but I said, you know, we've got to do it just a hair different. And I don't remember if it was something he said or I said that got the conversation started, but it ended up being that we made a decision that every time we met from then on, we each had to say at least one good thing we'd seen God do in between our conversations. So we might gripe for 59 and a half minutes, but by gosh, for 30 seconds each, right? We were going to make sure we told something good. And so we did. Our first one was right around Christmas time, and I think we had just had our kids' Christmas program or something. And so I told him, I said how cool it was, and he was telling me something. They did a food pantry at his church. Mm. And so we shared those stories. Well, you know what happened when that happened? We each told a second story. Mm. In fact, we told a third story. Because it's amazing when you actually stop, pay attention, and see God at work. Now get this. This is rocket science here. You see God at work. it's like sitting on that park bench for me when all of a sudden I smelt the bread and then the wind and then the heard this. And all of a sudden I was, my spiritual senses were awake. When you start telling the stories of God, when you start sharing with one another, that awakens your soul. Because, oh, you know what? That's amazing. God worked through that event. And all of a sudden you go, well, you know what? I saw God work through an event. Or, you know what? I did something really stupid, but I really felt the forgiveness of God. You know what? I've been there. And you start telling these stories. And you begin to realize God is there at every moment, every minute of every day. When you're awake enough to notice.
Come on.
We are so shut down so much of the time. We get so gurry, right? We get so internal. We get so closed off. And everything makes us mad.
Come on.
And instead of stopping and thinking, one of the things I have, it's a spiritual exercise, true spiritual exercise for me. Before I send a text, I have to read it. Because I have been known to fire off texts before I thought them through. And then go, wish I could have that one back. And now, by the way, you have the Facebook. Thank you, Apple, for giving us the delete your message thing. You can actually delete it now. We didn't have that before, and I wish there's a few I could go back and delete. But one of my spiritual exercises is stop and give yourself a pause and ask yourself, is what I'm about to send going to be helpful or not? That doesn't mean it can't be pointed. Doesn't mean it can't say what you need to say. But did I do it in a way that's going to be edifying and helpful rather than hurtful and pushing somebody away? Same thing with social media. I tell people that all the time. If you'll just give yourself a pause before you hit that button, it would save you a lot of heartache. Save me a lot of heartache. And so the pause button for us is to ask ourselves in the midst of the wilderness and the journey of life, even when it gets hard, where's God actually at work? This morning, you reminded me of the beauty of a snowfall. You talked about it being soft and gentle, just like you described God. I would never have thought of it that way, but I'm glad you shared that. I'm glad that my buddy Steve will every once in a while go, now, you've griped now for 40 minutes. Is God doing anything good in your life? Well, of course God's doing something good in my life. Well, then tell me. And you know the conversation softens.
Go on.
And you begin to realize that God is at work even in your struggles. If you've never had a moment in your life where you've asked that question, why God, or been angry or stuck your finger in the air at God, if you've never done that, then bless your heart, I hope you never do. But if you have, and you might, because I guess most of us have, and they do it again, know two things. Your God's big enough to handle it. And two, may God grant you the gift of someone in your life to walk that journey with you. That's how we stay awake. I liken it to this. So y'all, you know, I've talked on this program much. I like football. I'm a season ticket holder at OU. I go to football games. You know, we play a lot of night games now. Well, I don't know if you know this, but I work on Sundays, and so Saturday night games are hard because you know they don't end till 10 or 10:30. Mm-hmm. We live almost 2 hours away. I mean, and my wife is great. She drives me. But one thing she'll say is, "I need you to talk to me and keep me awake." Right. So that's our agreement. I don't have to drive, but she'll, as long as I stay up and keep her awake. Amazing how much easier it is with two people to stay awake. Hmm. Can you believe how much easier it is when you have someone to sort of fire something off of, have a conversation? You know, you might be super tired and worn out, but if you're in the middle of a good conversation with somebody, you'll stay awake for it. I don't think that's any different in a spiritual sense. We need spiritual friends. We need each other. We need our churches. We need the people of God to be the people of God. I think that's what Moses was after in Deuteronomy. I think he was like, look, when all else fails, tell those stories. You know, if you get over to the promised land and you're having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month, remind yourself, don't forget, tell the stories of how God brought us out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Don't forget that story. You know, Jesus sharing those stories of faith and life, helping us to understand. I mean, look how much Jesus told parables, told stories. I think those really matter, and I think those help us to stay awake. And when we're awake, awake begets awake. If you're awake, that leads you to stay awake. And when you're asleep, you tend to stay asleep. And so I think the question for us is, are you spiritually awake or asleep? And the reason I ask that as a question, I've been both. I've been both today. How do you stay awake, though? How do you stay out of that rut? God's going to get me. God's mad at me. Bad at God. God's not really there. God's forsaken me. God doesn't care. I mean, those are dark places. And very easily we as humans can get there. Remember, it wasn't very long until they built a golden calf. Right? But that's why you need each other. That's why we need one another. That's why we need programs like this. That's why we need the church. That's why we need our spiritual friends. Why we need our accountability partners. Because sometimes you have to get the story to change. You have to stop the story that you're telling yourself and change. And it's not that there's not a story there. It's just sometimes we stop telling it. I think Moses' call to the people of Israel is don't stop telling the stories of what God is doing. I think that's why it's important that we share our faith with one another. It's important that we share testimony. It's important that we remind each other of that truth, even when the truth is hard. You know, I have sat with people as a pastor that have gone through things that I can't even imagine. But I've sat with them. And sometimes they've asked me, you know, why did this happen? How? And sometimes the only pastoral answer I can give is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I know that God was with your loved one, or I know that God is still present. And sometimes your presence matters. And I don't ever claim to have all the answers. Anybody that does, I think you should probably run the other direction. But the fact that we can remind each other of some of those truths. There's a creed that we sometimes use in our church that I really like, and it has the line, "We are not alone, thanks be to God." I love that line because that is so incredibly true. We are not alone. That's being spiritually awake. That day on the park bench, I was not alone. And it wasn't because there were people walking by, and it wasn't because of the bread, and it wasn't because of the rustle. I finally came to the conclusion that God really is there. I was not alone on that park bench. God was there. That's what I hope for all of our lives. It's not that God isn't there. Sometimes we just can't see it. And sometimes it's our fault. So take this, maybe today, as our wake-up call. If you haven't stopped and looked at the beauty of the snow, stop and look at the beauty of the snow. If you haven't just looked around creation, if you haven't, you know, talked to a loved one, and just said, "Hey, how are you?" Do so. You would be amazed at how little acts of kindness, little moments of truth, little moments of awakeness will change your entire outlook for the day. And I hope that maybe as a people, if we as the people of God will take our spot and do the things that cause spiritual awakeness rather than sleepiness, I think that will transform the world. I really do. And so I guess that's the question I'll leave you with. Are you spiritually asleep or awake?
Amen. You know that when my daughter-in-law was so bold and brave enough.
I'm kidding.
I mean, that took some boldness and some courage for her, you know, to basically go off on your mother-in-law like that and put her in her place and let her know, "Hey, no, excuse me. You got some stinking thinking there."
But you know what that is, though? That is the true depth of love.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to love someone so much that you will risk everything for them?
You know, and
that's
her,
powerful.
Her telling me that in that moment that threw me back, it awakened my spirit, my soul enough in that moment in the middle of planning a murder. I mean, within out like 24, 48 hours away from doing it, it awakened me enough to hear his Holy Spirit speak to my spirit and say, "You won't come back from that. Don't do, what are you doing? What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And then I was awakened enough to recognize that sweet voice. And I began to, yes, to give God the what for and the why for. And in my pouring it out to him and just, you know, he was able to speak truth to my spirit and awaken me even more in that moment of with sweet, like soft questions, soft spoken questions. And one of a few of the questions were, "Was you there?" She died in a shotgun incident.
And for him to ask me, was you there, kind of broke me a little bit. Softened me even more. Because I bowed my head and said, no, sir, I was not there. And then for him to say, I was. Mm. I was there for your baby when she drew her last breath on earth. And then I began to thank him mm-hmm. for being there for my baby yeah. when I was not. Mm. And for being there to welcome her home. And then, so softly, he said, you know, I love you. But you also need to know, I love them. Mm-hmm. And you need to know that I desire a right relationship with all my people. And if you mm-hmm. are a human being walking and breathing with a heartbeat, if you're on that, you are my people. And I just crumbled in that moment and was able to go from hurting and angry to praising and worshiping my God. And the snow this morning on my way in, as I'm driving up 152, just looking around in awe. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, Lord, it's so beautiful. It's like a fuzzy blanket, a fuzzy soft blanket, blanketing the earth that you created. You created this snow that blankets the earth. Mm-hmm. And in the coldness, it makes me want to snuggle up next to you, Father. Mm. That's why I like the snow. Because it reminds me of a fuzzy, soft, fuzzy blanket.
Amen. Yeah. That sounds good.
I didn't say warm. I just said a fluffy.
Fluffy and fuzzy.
Fluffy, fuzzy, soft blanket.
It does. Now, thank you for sharing that.
Would you like to pray us out, sir?
Sure can. Gracious God, today, may someone in our life remind us just how good you are. Oh, God, today, may we remind someone else just how good you are. And may we together be awake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from my favorite brother in Christ, Pastor Scott Rogers. Y'all have a blessed Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.